Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime.
And now, opening night is proud to present you live from Portland, the true stars of the Chicago Blues All-Star.
Chicago Blues All-Star. For those of you who didn't meet us earlier, I'd like to introduce the band to you once again. We have on the piano Baby Boogie, Arthur Dixon. The drums, the butter and egg man of our band, Mr. Jimmy Tillman. On the guitar, one of Chicago's finest, We call him Big Bad John. John Watkins on guitar. Me, myself, and I playing the bass. My name is Freddie Dixon.
Chicagoland, as you can hear, we have a very exciting program for you today. We have the Willie Dixon Chicago Blues All-Stars, two in studio and one on our live line. And I'm going to let these gentlemen introduce themselves. Let's start off with our live line guests.
My name is John Watkins. I'm guitar and vocalist for over 30 years with the Chicago Blues All-Stars.
Wonderful.
I'm Jimmy Tillman, Dr. Jimmy Lee Tillman, drummer with Chicago Blues All-Stars and a blues historian.
I'm Freddie Dixon, the son of Willie Dixon, the bass player from the Chicago Blues All-Stars.
Well, gentlemen, you know, it is just so wonderful to have you address our audience today. Blues, you know, is the mainstay of music in Chicago. So we're really, really glad that you can be with us. I want you to tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and what's important to you.
Well, I'll start it off. I'm Freddie Dixon. Like I said, I'm the second son of Willie Dixon. And my main objective nowadays is to get the blues played over the radio, because it's been shut down and people don't want to play it over the radio. And this is why the kids don't know where their culture come from. This is part of our heritage, the blues. And it's very important in music to have the one. So if you don't know where the one is and they're trying to play all other forms of music, they missed the mark. And blues is very important to us. It's a healing music. It tells a story. It tells someone's life story. And I think we need it played over the radio. And I had made a statement a while back that I'm going to get it played over the radio. And I'm still working toward that goal. And it's going to be played in prime time. It's not going to be played late at night when everybody's asleep. And I'm working on it. And okay. I'm going to get that done. Because my father, that's what one of his goals were before he passed. Him and Muddy Waters and some other people, they had got together and they was going to buy this radio station for that purpose, to get the blues played, because they don't play it on the air anymore. And they got the radio station. They had the money, and somebody sold the station from under them. And that really hurt. That really took us apart, you know, the music industry apart, because you have a lot of blues artists out here who have great music, and they can't get it played, you know. And so the only time you hear it, you go to a club, and they're selling them off the stage and stuff like that. And I don't think that's fair. Well, all other groups from England or maybe some white rock group will take your songs and make millions of dollars off it, and you're not getting credit for it. And because they change it around, and if you don't know your heritage and know what they're doing to you, you just lost. And so we're gonna get the blues played over the air, and we're gonna get the people their royalties. That's what my father's organization does. It's called the Blues Heaven Foundation. He has that in place, and he helps people get their royalties and keep from getting beat out of all their money, you know. So, and this is why I came out of retirement, because I was retired for a while, but I enjoy playing. But I don't want to go down the same avenues. I'm gonna make it better for the next generation, because I'm gonna get this music played in prime time.
Well, thank you, Freddie. And John, what would you like to share with our audience?
What I'd like to share is I'm really proud to be a part of that heritage, because when I started out, all we wanted to do was R&B and rock and roll and stuff like that. So my parents got involved in it, and they told me from a young age that, hey, this is your heritage, not that other stuff. And then I was fortunate to be a part of a family that was really pumping hard, like Jimmy Johnson, Seal Johnson. Okay, Seal Johnson, he do R&B, but he's got a hell of a blues background in the music, okay, which caused me to start learning how to write. So I was fortunate enough to have a couple of my tunes on the Alligator label and on the Blue Phoenix label over in France. Now, think about this. As a kid, you have no idea what you're really involved in. All you know is you're playing. Now, all of a sudden, years ago, your music stopped playing everywhere, and then you start to wonder, where's my money?
Come on, man.
that's okay, because due to the Blues Haven Foundation and the Hoochie Coochie label, I'm finally getting my royalties the way I'm supposed to get, you know. So I encourage all the young kids that really want to get involved in this, don't give up. Keep trying. It'll come to pass.
Okay. And Dr. Jimmy Tillman.
How you doing? Okay. How you doing, everybody out there? I was thinking, I was listening to John and listening to Freddie, and I started thinking back about when did I really get so wrapped up into this blues music? And it goes all the way back to when I was a child. My father was O.B. Tillman. He was in the moonshine business. And he'd have, like, the ladies and stuff dancing down by the spring.
No, wait a minute. You said moonshine business?
Yeah, my father was in the whiskey business. Yes, he made the best moonshine in Mississippi. And anyway, he'd have these parties, like, on the weekends down by the spring where people go to wash their clothes. Mm-hmm. When I was a little boy. And so guitar players like John Lee Hooker would come by, this real famous guitar player. We didn't know who they were. And they would come by and they would play the little music for us down by the spring. And I would beat on the kettles where they washed the clothes at. I'd beat mm-hmm. on the kettles with the ash sticks, mm-hmm. you know, and then it kept a little beat going. But when I came to Chicago and I got a little older, I happened to meet Willie Dixon. And in fact, he invited me to come do a jam session at a place called the Tay-May Club or the Addis Club, which was right down the street from here on Roosevelt Road. And this was just before they started taking the bands to Europe. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go real bad. So I told my mother, they're going to pay me a lot of money, Mama, to play the blues. She said, you got to finish school. I said, wait a minute, they're going to pay me money. We ain't got to worry about rent or nothing. She said, listen, that's why the blues is going to always be here, because it's always been here.
Yeah.
But we have never got a good education, and I want you to get a good education. And so I had to go tell Mr. Dixon, I can't go with y'all because my mama said I got to finish school. She said, she's a smart woman, you're going to finish school. The next time I saw him, I was a grown man with my own children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's when I started work drawing the Chicago Blues, this version of the Chicago Blues All-Stars again. That was the greatest experience I ever had, was working with Willie Dixon. It was like being in a university.
Mm-hmm.
We ride in the van, and all this professor was in the back seat just talking and teaching to us all 300, 400, 500 miles. All we hear is Willie Dixon talking. And I'm a doctor now, because mm-hmm. he was saying that someone has to be able to teach our children about our music and about our heritage and about our history. And he said the blues is the only music that you can do that with. You can trace our history back from the time before we got on the boat.
Come on now.
To now. Because that note that's in the blues, that blue note, that flatted five, that minor seventh, those are the notes that the mother screamed and cried out as those children were being stolen from Africa and thrown on those ships and brought across over here to America. That sound was embedded in our souls, so that when we sing gospel songs or when we sing blues songs, those notes and those sounds and those tones are still in that music of today. Now, our children have to hear those notes. They have to hear those sounds. They have to understand where they come from, because that's embedded in our DNA. they're taking that away by putting this electronic music and embedded it into our kids' brain. Well, look out now, Dr. Tillman's starting to creep in. I'm going to stay a little light. Because I don't want to go all into how the electronic impulses affect the brain. But the blues is the only music that's pure.
Yeah.
You can take, I got a little bit of toy guitar here, but I've been writing songs. Ever since I picked this little guitar up, all I've been doing is writing songs every day and every night. You know, I want to play one for you later on that I wrote about coming here to see you today.
Okay.
Ruth, okay.
Well, let's just take a moment and tell us about your educational journey. Where did you go to school and how have you shared that education with children?
Okay. I graduated from Roosevelt University with
here in Chicago with
two degrees, one in a bachelor's in performance. And a bachelor's in music education.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a double major. I'm an old man. I went back to school and did a double major.
Mm-hmm.
I finally went on and got my master's in educational leadership. And from there, I got my doctorate. But the goal that I was upon was to be able to learn so I could go back and teach my young children and teach my young generation about this music as a history. And that's how I got into this. Riding with Willie, all those stories that he would tell us while we were in the van were stories that I used to teach my children.
Okay.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Tell them about the album we did for the kids at Kennedy King.
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, Chicago Blues All-Stars, we had came off the road with Dixon, and I had a job as an artist in residence in Chicago. And we went to Martin Luther King High School, and Muddy Waters had just passed around in, and I told them we went and talked to kids about Muddy Waters. They never knew. They didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
When they did the research and we did a song, we recorded an album called "Kids from King," a tribute album to Muddy Waters. Many of those kids went on to become famous, pop mediocre fame. You know, at that time they were the top. All the kids knew about those kids from King High School by recording that blues album.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple, I think. Lanier Harris, I think he's still continuing on to do music. He was one of our students. We had six students that we trained, took them on tours. They toured with Brooke Benton, who's a famous pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
We did a television show. They were on anything that was popular around Chicago. I made sure those kids got a chance to get that exposure. And that was for them to understand what it was like to become a professional musician and a professional artist.
Wonderful. Now, in addition to working directly with children on how music can benefit them, you also worked with children at risk.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, to tell you, all this stuff, if it wasn't for Dixon... Willie mm-hmm. Dixon working with Willie, those avenues I never would have explored them.
Mm-hmm.
When my doctor was working with at-risk youth, working with kids that were in jail that had made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used the blues in the working in Nancy B. Jefferson in order for us to be able to get them to see that they could share the experiences and the expressions that pent up hostility and pent up anger that they had in themselves through a song, and then would take away the sting of trying to go out and hurt somebody.
Now Jefferson was
Nancy B. Jefferson was a civil rights worker on the west side of Chicago that fought for children.
Mm-hmm. And they named a school after her.
Right. The irony is that they took the civil rights leader and named a detention center. But
a detention being that these children had been actually arrested.
Yes, there were children there. Later on, I do a song about one little boy called I Don't Care. He was sentenced to life.
Oh.
He was standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. The police arrested the corner, and the crime got pinned on him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll talk about that later, but
sure.
I don't want to get, you know, I run. Turn his motor off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, you know, we talked about the importance of blues, but it's not as popular as what it used to be. And I just want you to touch on what is the Chicago Blues All-Stars going to do, in addition to that radio station, to make sure that we are spreading the message, to make sure that we are getting this message to children.
Well,
what we're trying to do is, like I said, the radio program is one thing. But what we need to do is take it to the schools, you know, take it to the schools, teach the kids that it is part of their culture, their heritage, and not be ashamed of it. Because, you know, I have friends. I had a friend, he said, I said, come to the show, man. He said, I don't want to hear no blues. That's sad stuff. I said, man, you haven't been to a blues concert. Because, you know, and when he came there, he got hooked. And now he's at every blues concert, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, it has a bad stigma. You know, they think it's sad and something bad. It's telling someone's story. The story can be sad, it can be bad, but it also can be a happy story too. So it's all forms of the blues. You know, like mm-hmm. my father said, you can have the blues one day because your woman leave you, and you can have it the next day because she returns to you too. So, you know, there's many forms of the blues. So, you know, so it's not always sad, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you got to teach these kids. But they have a stigma about this sad music. And mm-hmm. until you go to a blues concert, another thing about blues concerts, if you ever notice when they was about to shut down the Chicago Fest because of the fighting and stuff down there, it wasn't on a blues night. Mm-hmm. And it's never on a blues night. There's no chaos when the blues is being played.
Okay.
And nowhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I would like to touch on is my father, I can say without a doubt, he started blues festivals all over the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he had one here in 68. And and ever since then, there wasn't no blues festival nowhere in the world until he started it. Mm-hmm. And now everywhere in the world has blues festival, and they are peaceful festivals. You know, there's no chaos. There's never a problem at a blues festival. So that tells you something about the music. It will soothe you. You can relate. You can relate to these stories that people are talking about, these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can relate to something, it eases your mind because you say, I'm not the only one going through this. It gives you a relief, you know, outlet. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the blues does. And we got to stress that to these kids and let them know, you know, it's just a form of music. You know, it's not nothing bad, but people take it and make it something bad, and it's not. So we got to get it in the schools and on the radio
mm-hmm.
and talk about it. You know, don't be ashamed of your heritage. That's what it is. We got to let them know it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something positive that comes out of this.
Mm-hmm. The thing most important about the blues is that it is the true facts of life told in song of inspiration and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
In our school,
hey, Jimmy, you sound like Willie Dixon.
I told you, he's a teacher. In our schools, they've taken African American history out of the schools. They don't teach it. But if you learn with my blues classes, we study African-American history because we trace the history of African-Americans from the time they hit this planet, this soil over here in America, all the way up until today. For every 10 years, every 20 years, there was something that was going on that the blues directly related to. B.B. King said, why I sang the blues? When they brought me over here, they beat me with a whip. A lot of moms stand over me and ride them over with a whip. You know, that's why I sing the blues. He was talking to them about everything that we have suffered and went through from the time we hit this planet. Mm-hmm. I keep saying planet. That time we hit America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I got my train of thought went off a little bit. But when you trace the history of our music and the history of our people all the way up through the generations, you find Wang Dang Doodle came out during the time of when the Civil Rights Movement was going on. You know, and people, we're going to picture Wang Dang Doodle, we're going to get together, meet you down at the Union Hall, tell Kuda Colin Red, Albert Sr. Ned, everybody, tell everybody to come on down here, we're going to have a picture of Wang Dang Doodle. That was pulling people together.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Poor People's Campaign was going on during that time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we was also a part of that tearing down of the Berlin Wall.
That's right.
Billy ended up doing, tear down the Berlin Wall.
That's the power of the blues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They went over there. We're going to tear down the Berlin Wall. There was a song that they wrote back during the time. That was the young generation.
New
generation of blues. They wrote a song called Tear Down the Berlin Wall. It was Billy Branch and it was a Caribbean, Louie Bell. And Freddie. They wrote this song. And shortly after that, sure enough,
they tore down the wall.
Tore down the wall. The last album right. we did with Willie Dixon was the most powerful album I've ever heard in the blues.
Yes, it is.
And that was the Mighty Earthquake and the Hurricane Tour. We did a tour called Mighty Earthquake and Hurricane.
Okay. Yeah.
And we went from Mexico up to Vancouver, and every time we went in, after we left the next day, it was an earthquake in that town.
Oh, wow.
From Mexico up to Vancouver.
You did that, you're talking about powerful. We sent a record to Ronald Reagan. It don't make sense. You can't make
that's
peace.
Right. That's yeah. right. That which don't make sense. You can't make peace was sent to Ronald Reagan. So you got great planes that span the sky. You get sight to the blind with other man's eyes. You make a submarine stay submerged for weeks.
But it don't make sense.
You can't make peace. That's one of the most powerful albums out. He's got on there, may not be no pie in the sky when you die. Could be a lie.
Yeah.
You know, those, you know, so these
can
are very
remember,
powerful.
Huh? Can you remember Hank Aaron's The Last Home Run?
Yeah, Last Home Run.
Yeah.
So, see, these are stories.
We recorded that, too.
That's right. These are stories that the blues
tells.
Mm-hmm. And people, they don't want, that's. This is the most powerful music on the planet.
Tell about the blue planet, Jimmy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Earth is called the blue planet because Earth is blue.
That's right.
When it was made, it was blue. Then God put everything down here and put a man down here. And man was by himself. He said, Lord, I'm blue and lonesome.
That's right.
So the Lord gave him a woman.
And
he called
him
back.
Everybody got the blues.
He called him back and said, Lord, everybody got the blues. Those are kind of stories that Willie Dixon will be telling us. They sound real light stories, but they're very powerful and very true because he took us all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Yes, he did.
You know, to the beginning of time. Blues been here since the beginning of time. Me and Freddie got to talk the other day. Am I going again?
Go ahead.
We got to talk the other day, and we were talking about the blues that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I said, Freddie, you know what? If you really think about it, David was like B.B. King. He said, what you talking about? I said, all he wrote was songs.
That's right.
And all the songs that he wrote were songs that soothe and heal people and encourage people, inspire. That was David from the Bible. He was a musician. He played the lyre, which was the same as a guitar.
That's right.
So that was our first really, really true blues musician if we want to get down to it.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, we only have, a minute or so left. What I'd like to do is ask you to give us contact information if people want to know more about the Willie Dixon Chicago Blues All-Stars. How can they get in touch with you?
We have a web page, and it's a www.WillieDixonChicagoBluesAllStars.
Okay.
.com.
Let's give it one more time.
www.WillieDixonChicagoBluesAllStars.com. That's our web page.
And I'd like to ask Dr. Tillman, with the minute that we have left, would you play something for us to round out our program?
Okay, John. John is a guitar player. And he really is my teacher because I watch everything he do. But one little lick I learned from John was this blues lump. And I'm going to sing a song about the lighthouse. Send me a sin eye dog, or give me a blind man's cane. Yeah, I said somebody, give me a sin eye dog, or give me a blind man's cane. Well, I gotta be blind not to see that woman had another man. Well, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder and Clarence Carter too. Yeah, I said Ray Charles, Clarence Carter and Stevie Wonder too. Well, they could see everybody that you was playing me for a fool. Here we go.
Chicagoland, thank you so very, very much for tuning in to the Willie Dixon Chicago Blues All-Stars joining us here on Chris Radio. Fact invites you to have peace and blessings also. Till next week. Bye now.